All right, we're going to continue the series today on 2020 vision and how important it is to have 2020 vision, especially here in 2020. Have you ever looked at a situation and you got it all wrong? You just misread it. I mean, just a mess, you know, and then you you thought you saw it a certain way, and then you really found out that you were just totally wrong. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the idea that an umpire, most of us has probably played ball or have kids that played ball. Have you ever accused the umpire of forgetting his glasses at home? You know what I mean? You make fun of them. You know, they called it a strike, but it was way outside. And sometimes that's how we get. You know, when we look at a situation, we think it's a certain thing, but it's not. The passage of Scripture I want to look at today starting off is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very familiar passage, hopefully, for most people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And this is a verse that we should really grab a hold of because it's going to help us, especially in some situations that come our way. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard first, and then I got the Amplified version. New American Standard is real easy. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That kind of sums it up right there, doesn't it? But the Amplified points a better picture, I think. It says, "For we walk by faith," meaning we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. We trust and holy with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the challenge that it puts inside of us, that Lord, sometimes when we look at things, we totally miss exactly maybe what you're throwing our way. And Lord, right now we just thank you that we take authority over any disturbance, anything that tries to come in to steal, kill, or destroy. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you've given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first thing I want to look at today is the idea of a corrective lenses. Sometimes our eyes really can't see as good. You know, without glasses, you know, some people can't read a street sign 50 feet away. I mean, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I started this series, you know, I had that LASIK surgery done. You know, one thing that I remember when I was talking about baseball earlier, when I was 9 years old or something, I was on the Braves, and I was leading the team in hitting. I mean, back then, we didn't have the good bats, so I was only about 300-400 is what it was. But then, midway through the season, my mom took me to the eye doctor, and they gave me glasses. I just tanked. My batting average just dropped off. My perception was totally off. So evidently, I hit better without my glasses. But the thing is, in life, I've noticed that when I went through life, is that I couldn't see things far away. I couldn't really understand the situation. I was missing out on a lot of things. And see, that's what happens, you know, when we don't really see things properly. Like, if you need glasses and you're driving, you can miss out on some important stuff. How many would think it'd be a bad deal if you missed the sign that said one way? You know, that could be a deal breaker for some, right? Really mess us up. Bridge out, that's another that comes to mind, you know, or dead end. You know, I lived out in the country, and if you didn't have a dead end sign, you drove down those roads, no place to turn around, it's muddy. You know, you get stuck if you miss that sign. So it's important to be able to see. And one thing that I remember, see, bad eyesight is hereditary. I inherited, I think, from my mom's side of the family, although my grandpa had glasses, my dad didn't on his side of the family. But, you know, you're always hoping that you didn't inherit that. You know, it's kind of a bummer when you can't see all the time. That's why I had that LASIK done. I really enjoyed that. But see, there's other things that's hereditary too. I believe that unbelief is hereditary. And that's something that's even more dangerous than poor eyesight, because I believe it's passed to us through a fallen world. And unbelief comes into our life, and it teaches us day after day, week after week, month after month, not to trust in a holy God, but to only trust what we can see with our natural eyes. And we get locked in this position where we're not going to see breakthrough come and happen. So what happens then is whatever comes our way, We feel we have to accept because there's no change in it. Unless we see something differently. Unless we can see another way. I see a way to get out of that problem. You know, we're taught that getting out of the boat is crazy. You know, like Peter did. You know, Peter stepped out and walked on the water. All his friends were probably saying, "Don't go, don't go, don't go. You're crazy. You're going to sink." But Peter hopped out anyway. Now, part of the problem, they didn't want Peter to go because I figured if he went, they was going to have to go. You know what I mean? That's why people try to hold us back. It's not that they really love us, but we challenge them. We make them face the fact of their unbelief. And so that's why it's an uphill battle sometimes, but it's downhill when we have the Lord on the inside of us and we choose to see through that lens of faith. You know, the world system is sense-driven. You know, we need natural proof or we won't believe. And in science class in high school and things, you know, they tell us how they run tests, we run experiments, and it has to be, you know, done again before it's proved. It has to be proven. You know, and you can only see it by what you measure. If you measure something or if you can create that to do. You know, we kind of get that Thomas-itis. That Thomas had to actually see the Lord and feel his hands before he would believe. Although Jesus had already risen from the dead. And he revealed himself to other peoples. Do you trust other people's opinion about things of faith? If somebody tells you that they felt the Lord did this for them, do you say, "Oh, yeah"? In your mind, you say, "Oh, yeah, right. God didn't do that." You know, I think sometimes Christians do that to each other. Well, we try to hold each other back. But I'll tell you what, we grow when we pursue God together. And we need it so bad, especially living in the days that we live in now. See, if we're limiting ourselves to our five physical senses, you know, what we see, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, what we hear, then we're living the lower life. See, the high life is the supernatural life. It's when we can see beyond the natural and be able to see exactly what God's doing in these last days. I believe that God's moving. We're starting to see things happen. We always have. But we just need to be ready. God is touching my heart. Be ready for the time of visitation. You know, God is wanting to visit His people. God is wanting to intervene in our life and start to move in our life, but sometimes we just got to get out of the boat. You know, God's not to the place where, you know, He's just going to do everything for us. He's looking for a people to rise up that has faith. Now, maybe you're here today and my mill, there's a lot of people that don't need glasses. So when I talk about needing glasses, they say that you just can't relate with that example. Well, I have another one. Let's say hypothetically there's a deer 500 yards away. Now, you can look at that deer, but it don't look very big if you can even see movement, right, with the natural eye, even if you got 20/20 vision, until you pull out a pair of binoculars, right? And hope you've looked through a pair. They're really cool. You know, we had a picture window in the farm out there, and we call it a picture window, a big window, and over to the south, you'd always see some deer over there, and they always kept some binoculars out so you could really get close. And see, when you put the binoculars up, it's almost like you can reach out and feel that thing. It's close. But it's not there, but the binoculars made it seem like it's there. And see, that's what the eye of faith, when we look with corrective lenses and we allow those things, that makes the things of God that are so far away seem close. So we can grab a hold of them and start to bring them into our life. And when we do that, then we start to experience blessings and we start to see God move. See, clarity is so important in our life. Especially when we talk about the things of God. See, we interact with this world based on how we interpret the information around us, what we see. Let me give you an example. Let's say tomorrow morning, your alarm doesn't go off. I haven't needed an alarm for 30 years or 40 years. I just wake up, you know. But some people need an alarm. And that alarm doesn't go off. So then you're late. Bummer. So you hurry, you get ready, you go outside, flat tire. So you get a ride to work, you get there, and the boss chews you out. Well, if you're sense-driven, like a lot of people are, we'd say, today is going to be a bad day. You know what I'm saying? That's a no-brainer, isn't it? Everything that went wrong did go wrong. But see, if you're a person of faith, then you're looking for a turnaround. You know, you're looking in a time when, you know, you're believing that you're looking for a turnaround instead of going down. No matter what adversity. And see, you say, that sounds silly, Pastor. Well, I'll tell you what. That's how you learn it when the big things come. When cancer comes knocking at your door. Heart disease knocks at your door. If you haven't practiced your faith with the little things, you will fail when the big things hit your life. Because we need to grow in Christ. People in the world are looking for hope. We are the people of hope. We have the hope inside of us. But unless we're willing to practice our faith to a lost and dying world, they're never going to be able to see it. See, the faith person would say, you know, I must be in line for promotion because the devil is really trying to discourage me right now. He's trying to steal my joy. He's trying to hold me back. All these things that come against us, you know, we believe that we can overcome. See, adversity is an opportunity to overcome. None of us really like adversity. At least, I hope you don't. You know, I don't go outside and, you know, just, oh man, I hope something bad happens today because I really want to grow in faith. No, but I do know it's going to come. But see, adversity is an opportunity for us to grow if we look at it that way. Just like kids that hate school. I hate school, they said. I love school. Number one, it got me off the farm, you know, going out and working all day long. Now, I didn't work that bad. My dad wasn't mean that way. But I mean, yeah, we had to go out and do stuff. There's jobs I didn't like doing. But school was there. I just loved to learn. I just loved to learn things. And see, that's how it should be when, you know, and we got a test on Monday. Ah! See, in Bible school, we called them opportunity sheets. It was an opportunity to show what you know. And see, that's what adversity does to our life. It gives us opportunities to show where we're at with Christ, where we need to study, where we need to be built back up in. So that when that thing comes again, you know, it'll just be a little bump in the road. And that's what part of it is. And that's what it takes. And my second point is the idea of the faith walk and how important it is. We all have a faith walk, at least we should. See, we all have a lot of faith. If I wrote you a check today, you'd have faith. It's good, right? Hypothetically. Amen. Hopefully you'd trust me. But, you know, there's a lot of faith out there. See, faith acts upon what God has revealed. And this is so key to us. The weakness of the body of Christ today is that we don't study the Word of God. We may read the Word of God, and that's good. I believe in reading the Word, and hopefully you read it every day, and hopefully you, I would love to see everybody have a goal of reading through the whole Bible in a year. I've been doing that, like I said, for years. It just helps see the big picture. But see, there's more than that. We need to also study the Word of God in different topics to build our faith up. And that's how, you know, we can't really respond in faith unless God has revealed that that's for us. Right? You know, I talked about tithing earlier and when we took up the offering. You know, the idea is, unless you see in Scripture that God said He's going to bless you, then it's hard for you to trust God in that way when He challenges us to trust Him. And it's important that we develop our trust in all areas of our life. You know, maybe you have a lot of things going on in your life now. Maybe your work situation is very tough. Maybe your marriage is struggling. All these different things that come in. But see, God has answers in His Word where we can look to that, where we see in our sense knows, you know, that, you know, maybe we're having struggles here. Maybe our relationship or our marriage is getting about ready to fail. It looks like it's graveyard dead. Well, what's the Bible say? The Bible says you can fix that thing. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen? So you look at that and you start focusing your faith and you start to see that situation turn around by speaking words of life. Faith-filled words make a difference. We all speak words all the time. And I'm not going to go into that too much today because that might be for the next session that we get together. But if we don't know the Word, we cannot respond to adversity properly. And I know this with my whole heart because it's taken me years and I'm still learning. But I know when I started out, I'd hear somebody like me up here preaching, you know, giving me some great information about stuff. And, you know, then I never really, you know, settled it in my heart, but I'd just go by what they said. Have you ever went by what somebody else said? It don't work like that all the time. You got to have it for yourself. It has to be your faith. It can't be my faith. You know, like I told somebody, I says, you know, And this is going to sound cold. They were in a serious situation. I said, I'll fight with you, but I'm not going to fight for you. You got to want to fight. I'm sorry, I don't have the time to fight your battle for you right now. You got to fight with me. And I'll fight. I'm a fighter. I won't give up. I don't have a lot of strengths, but one of them is I have pit bull faith. I have pit bull jaws. I grab a hold of something and I won't let go. Just won't quit. You know, it's just one of the things that God's put inside of me. And so if you want to fight and willing to go for something, I'll fight with you. You know, I'll believe God and I'll stand there till, you know, something else happens. You know, but, you know, faith is not just for the classroom, but it's meant to be used in the field. And see, I remember when I was in Bible school, I was getting preached at 20 some hours a week. I mean, it was awesome. I was just growing because I came from zero. You know what I mean? I got saved in November, went to Bible school in January. So I had about hardly any knowledge walking into that classroom. You know, I knew enough about God to be dangerous. You know, I had some false information about God. And, you know, I got in there and they started preaching at me. And, you know, I just like a little sponge and started sucking all that stuff in. And, you know, but it took a little while for me to start to use it in my life. You know what I mean? But see, little by little, I started to explore the truth in God's Word, and things started to change in my life. See, faith is revealed by the decisions that we make and the life that we live. See, we can say amen in here all we want. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, glory to God. Get all excited. Then we walk out there, and we act like we never knew the Word. You know, I've watched this. I've pastored now for over 30 years probably, and yeah, I can't remember how long it's been. I've been a Christian 30 years, pastor over 20-some years. And I've known people, I've watched people, I traveled as an evangelist to, you know, about 50 other churches in this Midwest area and have witnessed a lot of different things. And I do know this, you know, that it has to be something that is applied out in a real world. The Bible that we have was made for a real world. It is not made for just in the building. Because if that's all it is, I don't want no part of it. Because I can't live here all the time. I live out there, and that's where I need it. And I know it works, and I want to challenge you to grab a hold of that. It does work. See, it's areas of our life that we need our faith in action. I'm going to give you four of them right here just briefly that we need to grab a hold of. Number one, our belief system. Or what we believe. You know, I believe we need to wear our faith in our mouth. You know, our belief system. Everybody has one. You know, before you even became a Christian, you had a belief system. You know, and what it is, it's how you interpret the world around you, and you believe certain things about that and how you're going to conduct business in this world. You know what I mean? That's our belief system. So, when we become a Christian, we become born again. Well, now we need to adopt another belief system. That's the system of God. Now, we live in a world that is full of darkness, and yet we are full of light. So then we have to go against the grain a little bit. And so we have to speak words. Sometimes when you're walking in faith and believing God, it almost feels like you're lying. Because you're saying that I believe this, but it looks really different out there. But you're going to have to start to speak and to start to see those things change. You know, I've watched God heal marriages that were graveyard dead and buried, brought up out of the grave by speaking the Word of God in that situation and changing the way they think about things. And it works. It works. I've watched God, you know, be able to turn, you know, relationships and families around. I've seen them go the other way too because their belief system was more in that, I don't want this no more. And so that's what they believed. So they gave up. So the Word works, and we need to get into it. Number two, how we live our lives. Actions speak louder than words, right? You know, the old saying, I still remember my dad was telling me something. I don't remember. It was about drinking or smoking or something like that. Probably smoking. And he said, do as I say, not as I do. I don't want you to do this. You know, I still remember that. You know, and I didn't. You know, I never got into that. I mean, I got into other things, but smoking just wasn't one for me. You know, I just usually had my nose hanging out the window when we had to take them long car rides. You know, but that's one time I did listen to my dad. I mean, I listened to him on a couple other things. Not everything. But see, our parents, our actions need to line up with what we say with our kids. And that's why a lot of kids are turning their hearts away from God, is many times that those two things don't jive together. And we're not going to get into that too deep. I'm just throwing these out for something to think about. Number three is how we give. I talked about giving a little bit ago. If we cannot trust God in our finances, then how can we trust Him with our life? You know, God says to trust Him in these things. You know, how can we trust that Jesus paid for our sins if we don't believe that, if we don't trust Him in other things of the Bible? I think that's a fair question. It's a challenging question. I think about that from time to time. You know, I've been tested in this a long time. I'll be honest, when I was raised as a kid, I had a lot of fear about finances. I had a great grandma, and, you know, she went through the Depression, and she always trained me to, you know, be very frugal, you know, never take any chances, you know, all these things. She just always spoke those words into my life. So I had a lot of, that's one of the reasons I probably didn't go into farming. I wanted a paycheck about every week or every other week. You know what I'm saying? You know, farmers, you don't get a paycheck very often, just every now and then. And so, me and my dad didn't sort cattle together very well. That was a tough one, too. That's probably one of the reasons I didn't farm, too. You know, we butted heads when we sorted cattle. But, you know, that idea of not having a paycheck. So I had a lot of fear in my life about trusting God. And then when I got born again, and then I started to get into the Word of God, so that changed. But it was a, you know, it was a stronghold in my mind. You know how roots kind of go down and they're deep? It took a while to really uproot that thing. And maybe you struggle, maybe you don't have any problem with that, but there might be some other thinking in your mind that's holding you back. But see, it can change. But I just had to put it to practice and start to really trust God, and, you know, and things change, and we need to do that in all areas of our life. And then lastly, how we serve others. This is important. Faith understands that is only by serving others that we serve the Lord. I don't believe we can serve the Lord unless we're serving others. I don't know how you can do that. I haven't figured it out yet. You know, people tell me I'm serving God. I said, what are you doing? Nothing. Have you ever looked up the word serve? You know what I'm saying? You have to look up the word serve. What does that mean? And see, Christians and people, you know, Christians are the body of Christ. So, you know, as we serve each other, you know, Jesus, you know, challenged in Matthew, was it 25, when, you know, they said, he said, the sheep and the goats, and he said, they said, why are we over here? Why do we get separated against, you know, away from God? Jesus said, well, you never went and visited me in the prison. You never fed me when I was hungry. You know what I mean? So, action, putting action to our faith. You know, finding, you can't do it all, but we all can do something, right? We all can do something. You know, when we build God's kingdom, I found out in my life that we build ourselves up. You know, we grow faster and stronger when we're actively involved. So I encourage you to test God on this. Challenge Him. You know, when I first got saved, nobody told me. I came in green as they go. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to get involved. So I got involved and helping whatever way I could. And I'll tell you what, I learned a lot about God. Just finding out, you know, the things, you know, I experienced His anointing. And those days, just starting out, you know, serving people. You know, I started out like, you know, many of you have heard my testimony, but, you know, I was very shy in a sense. I would never pray in front of an adult. I mean, I just would have felt weird. That would have weirded me out. I started teaching three-year-olds. I wasn't very smart, but I was smarter than them. You know what I'm saying? So I started there. And I started to pray in front of those little kids. And what amazed me, my wife said, I guess I didn't teach them right. Because I taught them like they were adults. I didn't talk baby talk or talk down to them. I just treated them like they were adults, and it worked. You know, a lot of them grew. And then after a while, God challenged me to go do something else, and, you know, that's how I grow. So I encourage you, you know, step out and trust God. Now, I want to look at another passage real quick as we're closing on my last point here. It's found in 2 Kings 6, verse 15 and 17. 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 17, walking by faith and not by sight. Now, this is a story of Elisha, and he was being surrounded. I don't know if you've ever felt surrounded, but he was surrounded by an enemy army. And this is how he dealt with it. Now, the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "At last, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. So my last point is to be able to see the unseen. See the unseen. I think it's something that we forget about. I know I do. I mean, I don't really, you know, think about this all the time, for sure. But, you know, we live in a world, and there's a spirit in the natural. But see, there's a spiritual world all around us. And see, Elisha was out doing God's job. He was busy. But see, the enemy don't like it when you're out doing God's stuff. And the enemy sent some people and to surround him, to take him. And I want us to know just also that we don't see everything around us. Now, has anybody been able to see electricity? I've felt it. I guarantee you that. I have felt it. Can't see electricity, but praise God. I'm so glad we have it. Have you seen air? I feel it going in my lungs. But I trust it's there. Even though I can't see it, I know it's there. It's important. And then, you know, a lot of you have a cell phone. Have you ever seen a cell phone wave? No. But we know it's there. Our phone dings. You know, so there's things out there that we can't see, that we can't explain. I really can't explain. I've done electrical work, and that's, you know, I still don't totally understand how all that works, how that alternating current goes back and forth, and how, you know, it just does what it does. But I do plug in a plug, you know what I'm saying? I do plug in my cell phone to charge it. I just believe God there's going to be something in there. I pay my bill, right? Carson's here. He works for the power company. So I'm sure, you know, he'd disconnect us if we didn't pay, right? Nah, you wouldn't do it personally, but somebody would send somebody out. But that unseen stuff. Now, the unseen world spiritually is all around us. Just because we don't see it with our natural eyes, that doesn't mean it's there. Because that spirit world is all around us. You know, the Bible talks a lot about angels and demons and things like that. And I'll be honest, some people get overly obsessed with this, you know, especially the demon part. You know, I've been around people that are looking for demons under every rock, another thing, you know, and they get off on a tangent and then they wreck it for everybody else. Because then if you mention, you know, something like this, they think you're a Lulu, you know what I mean? But that, it's a real world out there. It's a spiritual world, and we're surrounded by it. And we need to understand. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's ministering angels in Hebrews that'll go forth on our behalf. Have you dispersed your angels lately to go minister, you know, on your behalf? It's important that we understand that. See, Elisha was, you know, in the natural, was surrounded. Enemy forces were closing in. And like I said, maybe you today, with what's going on in your life, you know, maybe you feel surrounded. Maybe you feel like, you know, the devil's ganging up on you. That, you know, everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And you just feel overwhelmed. And you're like Elisha's helper. You know, you get so wore down, you just think it's over. Saying, hey, we're surrounded. There's only two of us. And I don't believe Elisha probably carried a sword. You know what I mean? He was a man of God. You know, he had other powers. You know what I'm saying? So they were surrounded, probably didn't have a lot of options. But yet, Elisha told him to look beyond the natural and see the supernatural. To be able to look out for something out there that we can grab a hold of by walking by faith and not by sight. If God has called us into something, God will bring us through to that thing. To me, it's like connecting the dots. You know, you get those old coloring books as a kid. You know, and, you know, sometimes there's so many dots on those things as an adult, you can actually see the picture. I mean, they're just a quarter inch apart, you know, some of them. See, when we're a baby Christian, what I remember is it seemed like those dots were really close together in my faith walk. You know, God was there all the time, just kind of showing up and kind of revealing things. And, you know, I was really wanting to learn, so I was pressing in. But, you know, the idea of, you know, being able to see where he was leading me, he made it very obvious. But then as I grew, things started to change. Those dots, for whatever reason, got a little farther apart. And it's in those gaps I noticed that I grew the most. I grew the most in those gaps. Those times where you know you was in the right spot and you know that God was leading you to the next spot, but you just couldn't see the next spot yet. And see, that's them opportunities that I was talking about. We got to hold on to God in those things. We need to just believe that he's going to reveal to us every step of the way the things that he wants us to have. I want you to change your thinking in one area. God does not want you to fail. Did you ever think about that? You know, we think that God is so, I guess, mysterious out there, where he just wants us to blindly walk around in the desert like the children of Israel for 40 years. You know what I mean? They just kind of kept circling. Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. But it's not like that for the New Testament believer. We have something different. We have the Holy Ghost inside of us that leads us and guides us. And see, God wants us to learn to get to know the one inside of us, to trust him, and then to start to resist the temptation to want to have fear and so we hold back from that and to press on in. And we start to see the big picture come together. So for us, it's line upon line and precept upon precept. That's a scripture in the Old Testament. I know that many of us hopefully read the Bible. But I want to get back to my original point starting out. What does our study time look like? What I mean by study time is where you actually are not speed reading, but actually letting line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, maybe your struggle with fear in your life. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, fear attacks your mind, doesn't it? Well, see, you study scriptures on fear, talking about how love comes in and displaces fear. You wonder why God's not moving, why God's not changing things in our life. It's because we don't have the spiritual foundation we need. And today, I'll be honest, none of us have excuse. You can actually type in that word fear and scriptures that deal with fear. Boom. They're right there. Print them out. They're yours. Back in the old days, we had to get out a concordance. Anybody know what that was? Or maybe I'm just too old. A concordance was a real fat book, about that thick, probably about 4 inches thick, in about 9 or 8 point font, and it dealt with every word in the Bible. And so if you look up the word fear, it would give you maybe 50 or 100 starting with Genesis all the way to Revelation. So if you had a scripture in mind, you would have to scroll through or read down through that whole thing and try to find that scripture. It's not like that now. It's easy. We can just Google it, right? And I encourage you know, pick some subjects. Invest, you know, you wouldn't think nothing about going to Casey's. And I've watched people do this. I've watched people go to Casey's and spend $8 or $9 in the morning buying stuff. I mean, dear Lord, you multiply that times 20 working days. I don't know what they buy on the weekends, but that's a lot of money. But would you spend $10 and go buy a study aid for yourself? A lot of people say, no, I don't do that. I don't want to waste money on Bible stuff. You know, but I want $2. I don't know how much pop is now. I don't drink it. $2 pops. I don't know, are they that much? You got breakfast pizza, you got real pizza, you got, of course, I know Amanda, I don't want to take business away from Amanda here. She works at Casey's, but, you know, it is crazy that we'll spend so much feeding our belly, but we won't spend hardly anything feeding our soul. I want us to change our thinking. You know, what is more important? And, you know, if you look in your checkbook, other than bills, you got to pay your bills, that's important. But if you look in your checkbook or your spending, however you keep track of stuff, you can tell what's important to you by what you're spending, especially on the things you don't have to spend it on. Closing, you know, we need to choose to act and not react. I hate it when I react. You know what I mean? If I don't take a minute, you know, sometimes you need a little buffer, don't you? Maybe something bad happens your way or some kid smarts off to you. You know what I mean? Hope it's your kid, not somebody else's kid that you know, because you can deal with your kids easier. But, you know, the idea of not just blurting something out real quick. You know, just take a little time. So choose to act. And that happens if we don't make any rash decisions based on wrong information. You know, we need to consult the Word of God before we decide how we're going to respond to that situation. You know, I just want to, I know I'm having a hard time quitting right now, but, you know, I'll be honest. If you're in a situation and somebody speaks mean to you and you're not mad, don't get mad. Just choose not to. Maybe they just had something real bad happen in their life. You know, throw them a bone. Give them the benefit. You know what I'm saying? And try to, you know, choose to act. You know, try to see where they're coming from. And then, I'll be honest, that might open the door for you to minister life to that person. And see, that's important. That's how we change a lost and dying world. Amen? Let's close.